Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King. Football Morning in America is what his column is. And you see him on Football Night in America as well. Peter's brought to you by Needham Bank, and he joins us a little different time than normal because of Red Sox baseball today. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
What's going on, Dale? How are you?
Doing great, thanks. I noted with interest today, Adam Schefter reported that the NFL is considering trying to find other ways to further protect quarterbacks in the NFL, and given the spate of injuries, I guess I sort of understand where it's all coming from, but I can see old-time football people saying, you're not protecting them enough now?
Well, old-time football people, rightfully so, have been saying that for the last 2 or 3 years. I think the biggest thing that happens is this is really kind of a knee jerk. And I read that tweet from Adam and I had not heard that. I don't know really what they can do. I mean, there's really, they protect quarterbacks well enough already. It's a contact sport. I think what has happened here basically, Ben Roethlisberger, it sounds like, had a pre-existing elbow injury. If you saw, it's interesting. Chris Sims and I were in Steelers camp in Latrobe in August. And one of the things that was very interesting is that Ben Roethlisberger mostly had the day off the day we were there. He didn't throw very much at all. And yet afterwards, his right elbow was mummified in ice. He had a huge, ace bandage and ice configuration on his right elbow. And so, and after he got hurt the other day, you had Mason Rudolph saying this is something he's been dealing with. So basically, and I'm not saying they're trying to hide anything. I mean, clearly he was playing, so whatever, everybody has some aches and pains. But so you have that injury, you have the Drew Brees injury. I mean, Drew Brees hit his hand on Aaron Donald, which was, there's no way that you can protect a quarterback any more than, Brees has been protected. He's missed 3 games in 13 years. So I understand that the NFL has to say, hey, we're going to try to protect the franchise players. They're doing a fine job as it is right now.
And so, Peter, regardless of how those guys went down, when you just take a look at who is starting week 3 across the NFL, do you think the league has a quarterback problem?
I don't think so. I mean, last year, NFL quarterbacks, in 2017, starting quarterbacks in the NFL missed 112 games due to injury. Last year, NFL starting quarterbacks missed 60 games due to injury. This is trending in the right direction. I don't know.
Oh, no, Peter. No. I'm sorry. I don't mean a problem like protecting them. I just mean problem like how many great ones are there anymore?
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Well, look, in my opinion, as I look at the young quarterbacks in the game right now, I mean, Lamar Jackson has got 145 quarterback rating after 2 weeks with 7 touchdowns and no interceptions. I mean, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes meeting Sunday in Kansas City is at least one sign that, the fate of the future at quarterback is in pretty good hands. Kyler Murray is fun to watch. We don't know what he's going to be. We don't know what Lamar Jackson's going to be either. But I don't know. I don't really think. I mean, obviously, when you've got when you've got Luke Falk starting for the New York Jets in week 3, you say, "Oh my God, what is going on?" Well, fluky things are going on. I've covered the NFL for 35 years. I've never seen a quarterback miss time with mono. So I don't think the injury to Trevor Siemian is shaking. And again, with all due respect to Trevor Siemian, that's not going to affect the ratings very much. The fact that Trevor Siemian won't be the quarterback in New England on Sunday. I really don't, as I look at the league right now and look at some of the young quarterbacks, look, Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston are cause for concern. They were the first and second picks in 2015. Both are playing for their jobs. And if I were to guess right now, I'd be very shaky on whether either one is going to get a second contract with their team. So there are some young quarterbacks who are not fulfilling the promise that we thought that they had. But I'm not sure that's very different from any other era in NFL history.
If I'm a Patriots fan, only one thing concerns me for Sunday's game here against the Jets. It's that the game gets out of hand. You've got a Greg Williams defense with the accusations that have been made against him in the past, and you've got Jamal Adams, who's a bit of a nutcase. If I'm the Patriots, that's the one thing that scares me.
Well, if I were Bill Belichick and I had a 20-point lead with 12 minutes to go, with all due respect to his stated goal of we have to play 60 minutes, we got to get ready for a full schedule, we're taking care of our team, we're not worrying about the other team. Dale, I couldn't agree with you more, especially in a week where Tom Brady evidently has some sort of calf injury that he is trying to, make better. And in a week where your offensive line, the New England offensive line, is at best weakened, I would not be too concerned with playing 60 minutes this week. We'll see how it goes, but I'd rather get Brady out of there, particularly this week.
Peter, where do you think Jalen Ramsey ends up? And because as a Patriots fan, I'm hoping it's not the Chiefs.
I think if I were to put money right now, I'd put money on one of four teams in this order: the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Baltimore Ravens, in order. And the reason I would do that, there's a commonality in each team, and that is the person making the football decisions has guts and is willing to make a risky move. Howie Roseman with the Eagles, John Schneider with the Seahawks, Andy Reid with the Chiefs, New England's own Eric DaCosta in Baltimore. And you also have to look at, Rich, in each case, each team, I think, would be very willing to give a one plus for Jalen Ramsey, which is what it's going to take. For instance, in Philadelphia, I could see Philadelphia talking to Jacksonville and saying, we'll give you a 1 in 20, a 3 in 21, and Sidney Jones, sort of their underachieving second-round pick from a couple of years ago. We'll do that. But Rich, I think there's something really important to consider other than just what we're talking about in terms of compensation, and that is, no team is going to want to trade for Jalen Ramsey if they're not sure that they can sign him long term.
Right.
And also, let's say that they can't be sure, but they think they're optimistic they can sign him. They cannot afford Jalen Ramsey next year to hold out the way like a Melvin Gordon or Ezekiel Elliott did, because if you're trading a lot for Jalen Ramsey, you have to be sure that you are getting at least 2 years out of him. And so I think this is a bit of a high wire act. It's going to take a gutty general manager. It's going to take a team that is willing to trade its one next year and something else. And it's going to take a team that is willing to take some financial risk.
Isn't it stupid for the Jaguars to play him tonight?
Not necessarily. The Jaguars are trying to save their season. And this is a must game for the Jaguars. So I see what you're saying, Dale, but I think it might be stupid for them to trade Jalen Ramsey.
But assuming that they're committed to that. I think it's dumb to play him.
If they're committed to that, this is 1/16th of your season tonight. This is, you got to win this game. You have to win this game. Or else, I'm not saying you're playing for 2021. Teams have made the playoffs after going 0-3, but not many. And I don't know, Dale. I understand what you're saying, but I would play Jalen Ramsey if I were Jacksonville.
Now, do you think this is going to become a trend in the NFL? We know that it isn't. In the NBA, it clearly is. We've been dealing with that for a little while now. We've come to accept it. And, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick was a first-round pick a year ago on a bad team. See you later. Jalen Ramsey's upset. Great player. It looks like he's going to be on his way. Is this something we should start to expect?
Here's the way I look at this. I think in the NBA right now, and again, I don't really follow the NBA much at all, but if you're the Charlotte Hornets and you basically have your best player, the best player on your team in the last few years is Kemba Walker, and he leaves because he doesn't think that you're going to be competitive, and he goes to Boston because he thinks Boston can be and will be competitive, and they'll pay him at the top of the market. To me, I think that could be a harbinger of what's going to happen in the NFL. The only thing that I would say is that in the NFL, you know, you basically have a couple of things that can tie a player to a team. One, for a very big star, a big early, you know, a rookie who is a first round pick, you can put that fifth year option on him and make him play the fifth year, or he holds out and obviously makes it tough for you. The second thing is, we have heard Minka Fitzpatrick say, "I want out." We've heard some other people, Jalen Ramsey, say, "You want out." Here's my point. Why do you have to? If you are, and also Antonio Brown in Oakland, why do you have to, if you are those teams? Why do the Jacksonville Jaguars have to trade Jalen Ramsey? I mean, it's clear he doesn't want to sign there long term. But if you view this season as an important season because you've got a bunch of guys getting older there, like Calais Campbell, why do you have to trade him? Why can't you just say, "Hey, look, we will figure this out after the year"? It could be that Jalen Ramsey does some sort of work action and he does something like he walks out or something, and then you have to make a decision. But I don't know. We haven't seen what's happened in the NFL yet when a team says, other than like with the Chargers right now with Melvin Gordon, they have not budged. And what is Melvin Gordon's option? He's going to either have to go back and play with the Chargers or he's not going to play. So I still think that teams have an advantage that they ought to try to exercise.
Final question before we let you go. And briefly, you've been in the room. You've cast ballots. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
I think that if I were to guess right now in whatever year, 2027 or whatever it would be when he comes up, my guess is that at some point, maybe not in the first year, that yes, he will get in. I've done a little research on this in the last few days, and you know, it's very interesting when you look at the history, the recent history, let's say, of quarterbacks getting into the Hall of Fame. Between 1960 and 1980, 11 quarterbacks who played the majority of their career in that era, from 1960 to 80, 11 quarterbacks out of 26 franchises, AFL and NFL, made the Hall of Fame. From 80 to 1,000, 8 out of 28 got in. And from 2000 to 2020, I mean, obviously, Favre and Warner are already in, of guys who played the majority of their careers in that period. Favre and Warner are in. Brady, Manning, and Breeze are going to be in. And then after that, what do you have? You have, to my opinion, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, are almost locks, I would say, and Eli then probably comes next, along with Phillip Rivers. So let's just say that all those guys got in. Favre, Warner, Brady, Peyton Manning, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, and Rivers and Eli. That's 9 out of 32 franchises, 9 out of 32 teams, which is a little bit less than 11 and 8 in the prior 20-year periods. And I'm not saying that you have to stick by that. But what I am saying is that historically, I don't know how you put in, for instance, Bob Greasy, Sonny Jurgensen, Len Dawson, let's just say, and you don't put in Eli Manning. But again, I do think that people need to take a look at his regular season performance, which has been abjectly mediocre. So I think there's two ways to look at it, but if you ask me my gut feeling is at some point, maybe not the first year, but at some point he probably will get in.
Peter, we appreciate the time, and thanks for moving things around a bit today. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
See ya. Peter King, Football Morning in America.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.